Hello and welcome. Thank you for tuning in to listen to this video, in which I will describe the significant events that are required for creating a global pandemic of a coronavirus outbreak. It is now well established from the videos Plandemic Part 1 and Part 2 and the International Tribunal of Natural Justice that the coronavirus 2020 event was a well-planned outbreak of a genetically engineered virus. This event was planned for over two decades, and the pandemic preparedness plans were designed by corporate partners of the World Health Organization and implemented as sleeping contracts in all the WHO member countries under the International Health Regulations of 2005. These regulations were ready to be enacted when a global pandemic was declared by the corporate partners who are advising the World Health Organization. The partners included the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. And as we know, this is about the global reset of the economy. There are several strategies that need to be utilized to create the appearance of a global pandemic. And I'll describe that in this video. Firstly, the World Health Organization advisory group needed to change the definition of a pandemic. They needed to be able to declare a global pandemic even when there were not enormous numbers of deaths and illnesses obvious in the community or even in all countries. So in May 2009, the World Health Organization Emergency Committee, that had conflicts of interest with industry, changed the definition of a global pandemic. They did this by removing the requirement for there to be enormous numbers of deaths and illness to an infectious agent. This phrase was removed from the definition and replaced with a global pandemic can be declared when there are more cases of that disease than normal. In other words, the WHO could not have declared a global pandemic of swine flu in 2009 if it had not changed the definition in May 2009. And this also applies in 2020. The global pandemic was declared in 2020, even though many countries did not even have any cases of the disease. In these cases, such as Australia, it was claimed to be a precautionary measure, even though it is counter to the proven practices for controlling all infectious diseases. Again, this disease outbreak in many countries could not have been declared a global pandemic that resulted in locking down the healthy population if the World Health Organization had not changed the definition of a pandemic in 2009. Secondly, the enormous numbers of deaths and illnesses were predicted on a mathematical model that used false scientific assumptions. It was not based on the behavior of the virus actually in the population. It was based on extrapolated statistics based on false assumptions about viruses and how they cause disease. This modeling was flawed because it was based on generic assumptions about the behavior of the virus that ignored the variation in factors between countries. Environmental, host, and cultural factors that are important determinants of disease from infectious agents. Infectious agents do not cause disease on their own. They are not living organisms, and their ability to cause disease varies with the environmental and host characteristics of each country, as well as the quality of their healthcare system. The US Surgeon General Jerem Adams admitted this fact when he dumped the prediction model on the 13th of April 2020, stating that the predictions were not based on real data. In other words, countries had locked down the healthy populations and brought in social distancing rules based on statistics that, in his words, were predictions without actual evidence. There is no scientific basis for social distancing and lockdowns in the outbreak of this current disease. In this video, I'm going to describe to you how disease statistics can be manipulated to give the appearance of an increase in a new disease by changing the classification of influenza disease, by providing financial incentives for diagnosing COVID-19 without laboratory confirmation of the virus, and by extra surveillance of the disease in healthy people using a generic test for coronaviruses and not a test that identifies the new mutated virus, thereby creating cases of this disease in healthy people without explaining what a positive test actually means in these people. Statistics can hide many things, and in the case of COVID-19 disease, the cases of disease being reported in the media are not an indication of the risk of this disease to the community. This is because the cases represent healthy people without symptoms, as well as people with mild flu-like symptoms. These people who are testing positive to a test that does not identify the new virus. The media and government are using these cases to frighten the public about the risk, even though they are not identifying the virus in these cases. The risk of this virus to the community can only be provided by using the death and hospitalisation data for this disease. This is fraudulent reporting by the well-primed media and government health officials, as described at Event 201 that prepared for the pandemic in October 2019. Statistics require context, and the media is not providing the context surrounding the definition of the cases or what is meant by an active case of this disease. In past years, healthy people have never been tested for influenza disease, and if you test more people with a generic test, of course you will find more people with this disease because they've been exposed to coronaviruses that cause the common cold. The test is not proving that SARS coronavirus 2 is present. Disease diagnosis is a grey area of medicine, and changes in diagnostic criteria and extra surveillance can be used to create the appearance of an increase in one disease and a decrease in another. The more surveillance you do, the more cases you will find. But the question is, what does an antibody test in a healthy person mean? The FDA says that antibody tests should not be used to diagnose an active COVID-19 infection. Testing positive for this test means you most likely have immunity for some strains of coronaviruses. The CDC confirms that the test does not distinguish antibodies to specific strains of coronavirus, so it cannot indicate that you have been exposed to SARS-CoV-2 strain. This test of healthy people allows the media and the medical industry to misuse the positive results to exaggerate the risk of a new virus in the community, even though this virus is not being identified with any of the laboratory tests used to diagnose COVID-19 disease. The other test being used for diagnosis is the RT-PCR test, and the FDA states that it is not a diagnostic tool, as does the developer of this test, who won a Nobel Prize. In other words, the causal agent, SARS-CoV-2, is not being proven in any case of the cases or deaths to this disease that are being reported. The PCR test cannot identify a whole natural RNA virus. It only magnifies segments of the RNA genome that do not provide proof that SARS-CoV-2 is present in the tissue samples. There are many other viruses, bacteria, and non-infectious agents that can cause the neurological damage that is being observed in these deaths and illnesses, and no attempt is being made to prove that causality is due to this new mutated virus. The FDA states that the detection of RNA by the PCR test does not equate with an infectious agent. When the Australian government was asked recently, under the Freedom of Information Act, to provide a document that shows there is a test that 100% positively identifies the causal agent, SARS-CoV-2, and not other coronaviruses, the government's response was, no relevant documents have been located. In other words, there is no test that is identifying the SARS-CoV-2 virus in any of the cases or deaths that are being diagnosed as COVID-19 disease. And we know that the majority of the deaths are in the elderly with comorbidity. In previous years, the deaths would have been attributed to the underlying health issues, but this year they are labelled as COVID-19, even if the virus is only suspected. The Australian government is providing financial incentives this year for doctors and institutions to label the deaths and cases as COVID-19 without laboratory confirmation and based only on suspected cases and estimates. So what proof of causality do we have? Why is the medical profession not being required to demonstrate proof of causality for this so-called pandemic that is not obvious in the community? The majority of the deaths are occurring in the aged care facilities, in the elderly who have recently had the flu vaccine. These patients all have serious underlying health issues, comorbidity, and a recent flu vaccine. It is well documented that the flu vaccine can cause neurological damage and premature deaths in elderly people. This year, many countries mandated the flu vaccine for the first time, and the flu vaccine campaigns have occurred just prior to the spike in deaths that have occurred. China mandated the flu vaccine for the first time in December 2019, as did Italy, which used four flu vaccines in its vaccination campaigns, just prior to the spike in deaths in the Northern Hemisphere winter. Australia mandated the flu vaccine for the first time for all visitors and healthcare workers to aged care facilities on the 1st of May 2020, just prior to the well-predicted and planned-for second wave of this declared pandemic during our winter months. Data from the European Union shows there is a correlation between influenza vaccine and COVID-19 deaths. The countries that have with the highest death rates had all vaccinated at least half of the elderly population against influenza. This pattern has been observed in Canada as well. 82% of all reported COVID-19 deaths in Canada occurred in long-term care facilities. Evidence-based medicine requires that this correlation is investigated to see whether the vaccine was a contributing factor to the deaths, particularly as the SARS-CoV-2 virus has not been identified with a diagnostic test in these patients. Vaccine-induced enhancement of viral infections is well documented in scientific journals. Here are some examples. A trial in children showed that influenza vaccine increases fivefold the risk of acute respiratory infections caused by a group of non-influenza viruses, including coronaviruses. A study in military personnel revealed a 36% increase susceptibility to coronavirus infection after a flu vaccine. The study concluded that vaccine-derived interference was significantly associated with coronavirus illness. Evidence-based medicine requires proof that this outbreak of disease is caused by a virus with appropriate diagnostic tools. For example, cautious postulates and the Bradhill criteria. Yet to date, this scientific evidence has not been provided. The strong correlation of the disease with the mandated flu vaccine needs to be investigated before a virus is blamed. This is a plausible biological cause of the neurological illness and deaths that is being observed. It would be very convenient to blame a virus, and then a vaccine could be produced that would be the end solution, as Bill Gates has stated. This would fit with the many agendas that are being discussed around this outbreak. In Italy, a doctor has stated that COVID-19 is a neurological issue, probably affecting the central nervous system or a neurotransmitter, and he can testify that it is not contagious. He says it was around before the first case of this disease from China was presented in the media. He saw the first cases around December and early January, and it was being treated with drugs that are inhibitors of neuronal functions at different levels. It is a problem of the lungs, diffuse edema, and no one was wearing masks or gloves, and no caregivers were infected from this lung disease when it was first observed. This is a well-planned pandemic, as described in Event 201, held in October 2019, that was put on by the corporate partners of the World Health Organization, who gain from the development of vaccines in global health policies. There is no scientific evidence to support locking down the healthy population, social distancing, random medical testing of healthy people, coercive vaccination, or mask wearing for healthy people in the outbreak of this disease that we are observing. These measures all increase illness in the population, and they are counter to the proven practices for controlling infectious diseases in all countries. The measures also remove our fundamental human rights in society without scientific justification, and they represent an attack on humanity. This is no coincidence, and it is not a conspiracy theory. It is a well-orchestrated plan that has been enabled by the collaboration of private-public partnerships that advise the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization is no longer using objective scientific information in the design of global health policies that all member countries have signed up to under the international health regulations. National governments have lost their sovereignty by signing up to these corporations, and this is putting the human race at serious risk to their health and to being able to be controlled and surveilled by the government. Thank you for tuning in to this video, and I hope you will share it with your friends and family.